DJ Rampage, Heat DJ number one.
Hold your butts up!
DJ Rampage.
I'm shutting down the game. Mix show madness.
I make
city to city, country to country. The mix show madness.
Y'all hear? Yo, y'all really? Y'all listen? No, y'all hear?
Paragon. Seven. Studios.
Up to back, no batteries included and no strings attached, no holds barred, no time for move faking, got to get the loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe, so
bring that one back from the top.
Leaders of the New School, Tribe Called Quest, Scenario, which I talk about my experience with hip-hop music, and this is a sports talk entertainment hip-hop show. The Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory, that was one of the first major landmark albums that I've listened to in my life. I mean, there are several albums that have changed my life in hip-hop history. I would say that the Pete Rock, CL Smooth, Mech and the Soul Brother, that changed my life and is really arguably the album that, if I had to take one album to a desert island, I could never listen to anything else again. That the Mech and the Soul Brother would be in the conversation because of the production. And I'm a person, I sang my way through school on a music scholarship. I love music. I love the beat selection and the production behind it. CL and Pete Rock were on point, but the production on Mecca and the Soul Brother was amazing and astounding and just something that we had never seen in hip hop. I know that that's not an album that went quadruple platinum, but the production on Mecca and the Soul Brother, considering this is back in 1991, 92, unbelievable. Low End Theory, Tribe Called Quest, same thing. Changed my life, the production and the bars. The combination of Q-Tip and Fife Dawg, rest in peace, was amazing. Tribe Called Quest, the first album, People's Instinct, that was an amazing album. That was a 5-mic album as well. But Low End Theory, where you really started getting into the jazz-infused hip-hop, that changed my life. The next album that changed my life was The Chronic by Dr. Dre. That was the first album, me growing up as a suburban, non-gangster, picket fence, three-car garage neighborhood type dude. The Chronic was the first real hardcore album that I had access to. And The Chronic was different than anything that I had ever heard in my lifetime. The Chronic with all of the cursing, the swearing, the gangster references. It was West Coast. It was a different vibe. That changed my life. Probably not for the better. I think about a couple of more life-changing albums. I will say that To Pimp a Butterfly, which I believe is the best album in the genre, this is many, many years later, To Pimp a Butterfly changed my life. I had never heard anything, an MC, and I'm a little bit tired of Kendrick. I've had enough of Kendrick Lamar. I think he's overexposed. It's kind of getting like Beyonce. There's just certain people that are overexposed. Rihanna, back in the day before she, you know, decided to have her family and settle down. But there's some people just overexposed. You can't turn on the radio on and not hear some of these people. And I think that Kendrick is overexposed. But To Pimp a Butterfly was an unbelievable, amazing album. Just had never heard anything like that. I would say that 36 Chambers, Wu-Tang Clan, that was life-changing for me. That was a life-changing album. Because 36 Chambers sounded like the RZA was recording and mixing this in a dusty basement in Staten Island. I would say that Mad Villainy with Madlib and MF Doom, that was also a life-changing album. I think those are like the six or seven albums that changed my life. The last one I throw in, people be surprised to hear this, Donuts by J Dilla. And I know that Donuts by J Dilla did not have any vocals on it. It was just J Dilla at the end of his life. I think he was in Brazil. He'd been fighting lupus and a bunch of other health issues. And he came out with this instrumental album, Donuts, and that album was just amazing, cover to cover. You want to talk about no skips? No skips on that album. And those are kind of the ones that changed my life. I know I didn't mention Ready to Die. I didn't mention Illmatic. These are great albums. I'm not disrespecting some of these other fantastic albums. But I wouldn't say that they changed my life. I would say that the Cuban Link album was pretty close. That was almost life-changing. It was kind of honorable mention. But speaking about hip-hop, there's a lot of discussion going around. And I want to show love to two hip-hop artists that have been around a long time. The first one is Lil Wayne. Everyone hates the Lil Wayne album, the Carter 6. I had a chance to listen to it a couple of times over the weekend. It's different. It ain't like the Carter 3. I mean, you're not going to get Carter 2, Carter 3, Carter 4 energy. It's different. Lil Wayne is clearly, and I'm trying to say this tactfully, Lil Wayne's brain has clearly been altered by some of the chemicals he's exposed himself to over the years, allegedly. Can I say that? Well, I don't know if it's alleged. He talks about drinking scissor, which I would not advise. My story about lean, anyone that knows Lance Day knows that I don't drink, I don't smoke. I've never purposefully had alcohol or indulged in the Manhattan Silver, the Afghanian Purple, the Maui Wowie. I definitely haven't indulged in the White Horse or the Grey Ghost, the Toucan Sam. I've never messed with any of that stuff. I have been in places where I've been in a car riding with people and they decided to blaze up. I really didn't have any choice. And I was at a party once at a friend's house and they had mixed the punch with the codeine syrup. So I was exposed to codeine syrup one time and that ended pretty badly for me. I'll just leave it at that. But Lil Wayne's mind is different. Lil Wayne ain't the same dude that he was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I don't want to get in his personal life. The way he talks, the way he walks, the way he moves. I know that he was pissed off that the Super Bowl, Jay-Z did not invite him to perform the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And Lil Wayne's catalog, in my opinion, is better than Kendrick's catalog of hits. Kendrick, perhaps a better artist. Lil Wayne, an amazing artist at their peak. But Lil Wayne more commercial, Kendrick more underground, more upliftment of Black African-American lives, women with the stretch marks. Like Kendrick's a different type of dude. Lil Weezy is different. That said, I'm just not hating on the album. It's weird. It's different. It ain't what we're used to. I don't think it's a bad album. Everyone's hating on the album and crushing the album. Just thinks that the album's absolute trash. Rating it a 3 out of 10. On different platforms, you know, you got your hiphopdx.com, got your allhiphop.com, places where people go to get ratings on hip hop albums. There's a very negative campaign against it. I listened to the album 3 times over the weekend. I was just like, this isn't that bad. Now, am I going to go on a road trip to LA from Nashville where I'm broadcasting? Am I going to bump this thing for 3 consecutive days? Probably not. But I don't think it's as bad as everyone says it is. I just don't think it's what we're used to hearing from Lil Wayne. His bars are still kind of amazing. There are a whole lot of bars and references. Well, you got to rewind that thing and be like, yo, did he say what I think that he was saying? Like, Lil Wayne still has those bars. I know he didn't write anything down. So I have respect for and salute Weezy for putting out an interesting album. I don't think that it will have as much. I mean, it's going to have commercial success because it's Lil Wayne. So he's going to go gold platinum. I don't know if in the Pantheon, and it's his catalog, people say it's the worst of the Carter series. That might be true. That's very, very possible. But I would say this. I'd rather have a mediocre Lil Wayne album than listen to Ice Spice. Than another Chief Keef album. And there are a lot of people in the industry that I'd rather hear Wayne past his prime. It's like Muhammad Ali when he fought Chuck Wepner. Way, way past his prime. I'd rather see Muhammad Ali fight Chuck Wepner at 38 than see a lesser boxer that nobody cares about. So that's my first thing. Second thing, this is a little bit more difficult to watch, but I'm gonna show some love to Will Smith. And look, Will Smith, I feel bad. Will Smith is one of the only people in the history of Western civilization that, you know, it's basically worth $500 million. He's a super mega star. Like, Will Smith can't go to Target. I know that the culture's boycotting Target. He can't go to Costco and get peanut butter for his house and toiletries and all the stuff that they sell in bulk at Costco. He can't get toilet paper, soap, Red Bull. I don't know why anyone. I went to one of my friends' house, a sidebar, and he had like 232 cases of Red Bull. And I was just like, bro, are you trying to unalive yourself? Are you really serious about your health and wellness? But Will Smith can't just go. He can't just go into Costco. He can't just walk around the mall. He wants to get something from the Louis Vuitton store. He wants to get something from the Gucci store. Will Smith can't do that. He's a mega superstar. And he put out an album that flopped, and especially he had the idea to record. He had the one thing, I pulled the pin out a grenade, then I threw it. And even though I'm an action star, sometimes I'm gonna act bizarre. I mean, that was not one of his better moments. That was the antithesis of him and Martin when he was young. And Will Smith's running down Biscayne Boulevard chasing the bad guys in Bad Boys 1 with his shirt open. That was the other side. But you know what? I respect Will Smith. And as I was saying, he's the only guy that has everything is just rich AF, successful AF. A lot of women feel like he's, you know, tall, I guess, good-looking guy. Pause. But he's managed to make himself into the underdog. People feel sorry for him because of his situation at home and because he slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars and because he went on a podcast with his wife and talked about his wife giving fellatio to another man and had that conversation and cried. You know, he's a meme. And then he's kind of had this renaissance where you see him on TV. He's traveling. He's scaling mountains. I think he was climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, all this stuff. But you know what? At the end of the day, I rock with Will Smith. I mean, his music, nobody's listening to anymore. But this guy's rich. This guy's famous. This guy has everything that most of us would love to have. The houses, the yachts, the access, the rep. Every time he does a movie, it's got to be 25 M's. He just did the music for himself. I respect someone that says, bleep you, man. I know that nobody's going to buy it. I know that nobody cares. I'm pushing 60. Nobody cares about my bars. But I was one of the pioneers of this rap thing. I'm gonna put some music out. And if you clown me and make fun of me, so be it, man. I still got 500 M's in the bank. I'm gonna be all right. I respect that. I think more people should be focused on art and putting out what they want to put out and not focused on the clicks, the likes, what the industry is going to say about them, what some spanky such as myself is going to say about them to speak negatively of them, say you're washed, you suck, hang it up. I don't buy into that, man. Respect to Will Smith. You keep putting out that horrible music, bro. Paragon 7 Studios.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lounge J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.